Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
I want to share with you some thoughts today around this idea of kingdom community. So if you're taking notes today, that's going to be the title of my message, kingdom community. Before we get into that, why don't we just take a moment to pray? Thank you, God. Jesus, we thank you for your presence here. Lord God, we came here today not to just say we've done church, but we came here today to have an encounter with you, that through your word and through your wisdom that you would do a work in our hearts, that we would leave different to how we came in. And so, God, we pray that you would do a transformative work in each and every one of us. Speak to us, open our eyes, help us to hear your voice and to follow you even more than we did before. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, wonderful. So today I'm going to speak to you on kingdom community, and I'm just going to do a little bit of teaching at the start, if that's okay. Got my whiteboard actually, so really going to teach it today. Do a bit of teaching and then how that then applies to us in our everyday life. So today I'm going to just share with you from this passage in scripture, Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. This is a parable that was told by Jesus, and it's one parable in a whole passage of parables, where Jesus is explaining the kingdom of heaven. And in this verse, he says this: "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." So Jesus is teaching a multitude of people about this idea of the kingdom. And he uses in this passage, in this translation, he uses the words kingdom of heaven. But depending on your translation, sometimes you might read it as the kingdom of God. And other times throughout the scriptures, you'll actually just, you'll read Jesus saying like things like the kingdom has come upon you. He talks again and again about kingdom. In fact, throughout the books of the Gospels, he mentions this phrase or this word kingdom at least 90 times throughout the Gospels. And so the fact that it's just so prevalent in the gospel says to us that as Christians, it's important that we understand what God is talking about when he's talking about kingdom, and when he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, or he's talking about the kingdom of God. We know if we cast our minds back to the creation of the world, that God spoke in Genesis to Adam and Eve, and he said that they were to be fruitful and multiply, to subdue the earth and take dominion. Do you remember that phrase? Have you heard that before? Talking about taking dominion. And the reason I'm sharing with that is because there's a bit of that word in the word kingdom. When we talk about kingdom, we're talking about the king's domain. We're talking about taking dominion for the king. Okay, and who's our king? Jesus is our king, yeah? And so when he's talking about kingdom, he's talking about himself taking dominion over the earth. And lo and behold, he doesn't do it on his own, but he actually chooses each and every one of us to take dominion. Does that make sense? To see the expansion of his kingdom. That's why he said to Adam and Eve, subdue the earth and take dominion, because he was enabling, empowering humanity to be the ones to see his kingdom established on the earth as it is in heaven. Is that all making sense so far? And so it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, how you got here, what your past was like, what even this morning was like, how much coffee you had, Jesus has called you to take dominion. Jesus has called you to be somebody through whom which he wants to establish his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that awesome? Come on, let's give God praise for that today. Let's give God praise. And so when we think about the kingdom of God, it's not a physical kingdom. It's actually a supernatural kingdom. So we're talking about spiritual things here, right? I'm not talking about him going building a castle somewhere in the middle of Perth and starting to send out his knights on the white knights on the horses or anything like that. We're talking about a spiritual kingdom. And the first place the kingdom starts is in you. is in you. Does that make sense? So when we think about that scripture back in Matthew 13, where God is talking about the seed that is planted and then grows and becomes a tree, it's like the kingdom of God. When you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just imagine the seed of the kingdom starts to grow in you. Isn't that beautiful? And just like we talked about taking dominion, that seed starts to take dominion in your life. It starts to grow and become something much bigger than what it started as. Yeah? So as God starts to do a work in you, his desire is that his kingdom, which is an expansive and growing kingdom, would start to expand and grow in you. So that then you can become spiritually like that tree that the birds came and nested in. Yeah, that no longer do you just planted in the dirt this little seed, but you have now become this mighty tree in the things of God. And as that person who is that mighty tree, the birds can come and find shade, find rest, find shelter in you. And who knows, I want to be that kind of person. I don't know about you, but I want to be that kind of person. I want to be the kind of person who my family, my friends, and those around me can have can find shelter, a place of safety, a place of refuge, a place where the kingdom and the things of God is outworked, so that the people around me are influenced and impacted by that. Is that what you want for yourself today? I hope that you do, and I pray that you do. You see, the kingdom of God refers to God's reign. It's referring to his rulership over our life. And while the kingdom of God is available and is ready to be outworked in the life of every believer, how much we embrace that is up to us. Yeah? How much we choose to embrace that is up to us. I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation comes to you as you turn your heart to the Lord and you, by faith, receive the grace of Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. He died for you and now you are saved. You're saved by grace. But from that point onwards, how much you step into and allow the kingdom of God to grow and bear great fruit in your life will only happen according to how much you choose to embrace it. Is that right? You can choose to be saved and that's it. And that's it. God doesn't do any more. I don't allow God to do any more work in my life. I'm static. I'll stay the same till the day Jesus takes me home. Yeah? You can choose to live your life like that. Or you can choose to fully take hold of what he has for you here on earth as it is in heaven. And that's the choice we have today, right? That's the choice we have today and every single day. Do we allow the kingdom of God to be outworked in our lives? Because you see, the kingdom of God is a supernatural kingdom. It is not finite. It has no end. It continues to grow and flourish and produce big things and to produce great things. That's what God desires to do in our lives. He doesn't desire for us to be restricted and restrained in the things of God, but rather running freely and seeing the kingdom grow and be going from that being that little seed to a mighty, mighty, mighty tree. And so what naturally happens if we embrace the kingdom work that God wants to do in our lives is that we start to grow. And growth always looks like change. Yeah? Growth always looks like change. God desires to bring that growth, that transformation, and that change in our lives. We know Paul wrote it in Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know the good and perfect will of God. He desires to do a growing, changing work in our lives. And so if the kingdom of God is becoming bigger in our lives, the kingdom of God should be transforming and changing us. Now, don't get me wrong here. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But his kingdom should be constantly changing our world. Yeah. His kingdom should be constantly changing our world. He should be growing in us, growing in our relationships, and growing our influence. All of these things are indicators that the kingdom of God is moving in our lives, is moving in our lives. And the only way, there can be many reasons why we're not seeing that happen in our lives. Who knows that sometimes we go through challenging seasons, we go through difficult seasons where we struggle to continue to walk in the things that God has called us to walk in. I know that I have, and I'm sure there's many of you here today. And the reason that becomes such a challenge to us is because when we are walking through difficult circumstances, we retreat or pull back from the kingdom work that God desires to do in us in those difficult seasons. You see, what God desires to do in us is He desires to build His kingdom in us in a really consistent way. So if I was to put the trajectory of your life onto a graph, a bit like this, then the plan and purpose of God, or the potential that we have in embracing the kingdom of God, would be that as we step into salvation and start to embrace His kingdom work, that our lives would be quite more like this, on this tangent, this upward tangent in the things of God, that we're running with Him, that no matter what happens, we continue to pursue Him in a way that causes us to grow and grow and grow and grow. Yes? Is that making sense? That's the kind of life I want to have. But who knows that so often life can end up looking a little bit like this, where we start here and we're on this run with God, and then something happens. There's a challenge in your marriage. Your kids go off the rails. You get sick. Something goes on and we dip. And then we kind of get back up here again and get things back on track. And then we get discouraged and we have an argument and all that sort of thing happens. And we end up in kind of like this real up and down kind of life with God. And we're not really making that headway. We're not moving forwards in the things of God. We're not seeing the kind of growth that we desire to see in our lives. And there's no condemnation in this, right? We're all on that journey, yeah? We're all on that journey. We're all trying to discover, what does it look like for me to live a Christian life and fully embrace the things of God? And you see, what God desires for us to do is to become the kind of people who can stay on track with Him no matter what's happening. Who can stay on track with Him no matter what is happening in my life. And can I say to you, single people, if you're here today and you're out there trying to look for the Mr. Right or Miss Right or whoever it is, then you want to be looking for somebody who's running like this with Jesus, yeah? But you also need to be thinking, am I the kind of person who's running like this, like with Jesus, yes? Yeah? Because this is what we want to do. You bring two people together who are running like this. What can God do? How incredible. That's why God just so values the covenant of marriage, because when we're running together like this, there's an incredible work that God can do when two become one. The three-stranded cord with the Holy Spirit. Yeah? That makes sense? Yeah, so good. So how do we steward well what God wants to do in our lives to fully embrace the kingdom growth that God has for us? Well, I want to bring you to the book of Acts, where God was doing this incredible work to really expand and grow the community of God, but also see the kingdom grow and be expanded, that dominion being taken in that sphere where He was really moving. And in Acts chapter 2, we're going to pick this up from verse 42 through to 47. And it says, this is what was happening in that time. It says, and they, that's the believers, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, They ate food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Wow, praise God, hey? Let's give God praise for that. This is God growing his kingdom. We can so obviously see God is moving. And this account in the book of Acts highlights the kind of life that the people of the early church were living. Just prior to this account, the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the day of Pentecost. Peter had preached to this large group of people, and over 3,000 were added to the church in one day. Wow. The early church had begun. Now, nobody could deny that the kingdom of God was expanding. It was growing, yeah? And you can imagine being a person in that time who'd become a believer. Your life would have been radically changed, yeah? You've grown up as a Jew in Jewish community, and suddenly you become a believer in the one true God, in Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and rose again, and now you're living that resurrection life. Is that awesome? Their lives were being changed. The people were being changed internally, and you were starting to see it being outworked in the community, and that's why persecution began. Because when the God's kingdom begins to grow, not only does it have an impact on the individual, but it has an impact on the whole community. It has an impact on the whole city. That's what God desires, right? That's taking dominion. When his kingdom starts to grow and flourish in us, then the people around us are impacted. And who knows, the powers that be don't like that when they are not also believers and running in the same direction. So God was on the move. And the momentum of that move of God, the momentum of the kingdom of God, continued to be sustained in this gathering of believers in kingdom community. So the people were gathering all together in the temple, and then they were gathering people's homes. So they were gathering big and they were gathering small. They would gather big in the temple and they would worship and they would get around the teaching and all of those things. And then they would go off into their small groups, however it worked throughout the week, and gather in people's homes. They would share communion, they would share meals, and they would come together in close relationship. It's really simple, right? It's God's counterbalance. This is the same God who created us, male and female. He created the day and the night, the sun and the moon, the land and the sea. He created us to gather big in his church and to gather small, to gather big and to gather small. And what I want to suggest to you today is that growth happens in kingdom community. Growth in you, but also growth in God's kingdom. And kingdom community, in turn, stewards that growth. That's why we see what God began on the day of Pentecost continued to grow, continued to be sustained in its momentum, because the people chose to gather in community. They chose to go to the temple and they chose to gather in people's homes. Because you see, God designed us to live our lives in kingdom community. He designed us to be impacted by his presence and impacted by his word, but then to allow what God was doing in our lives to be developed in that place of community. To go into those small groups where there's opportunity in that place of safe and close relationship to discuss and to pray about what God is doing in each person's life personally, yeah? Because who knows, if we try to do that here today, we'll be here till 7 o'clock tonight, or maybe tomorrow morning, I'm not sure. Depends how long you talk for. But this is how the move of God is sustained in our lives, yeah? This is how the move of God continues to grow. This is how the kingdom of God continues to grow in us and through us as we continue to gather in community, to gather big and to gather small. And that's why we always say you're going to live your best life in the community of faith if you commit yourself to church on Sunday and to connect group every fortnight. Because as you do that, God is going to do an incredible kingdom work in your life. Now, the writer of Hebrews knew the value of this. And he writes about this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. He said, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is an incredible passage of scripture when you consider the context of this writing. You see, the writer of Hebrews was writing to a group of Jewish people who had turned their lives around, decided to follow Jesus as their Lord and Savior, turned their back on everything they'd been grown up to believe, turned their back on the culture they had grown up in, and chosen to follow Jesus. And from the time they chose to do that, they came under terrible persecution. And so they were living both in this new place of believing in Jesus, but also under the weight of these serious challenges. And the author of this book knew that they were considering from walking away from Jesus and going back to their old ways, going back to the old things. And so he tells them this. He commands them this. He says, do not forsake assembling together, because he knew that by doing that, they would be walking away from the very thing they needed. In that time of challenge and persecution, he knew that they needed to be in community. They needed to get around each other, to stir one another up to love and good works, to exhort one another. And you see, this is a great warning for us today, because you see, if you listen to the voice of discouragement, it will always pull you away from community. The voice of discouragement will always pull you away from community. It will convince you that you need to retreat, that you need to pull back. It will convince you on Sunday morning, no, just stay home. Stay home. You need some time to yourself. You need some time to process. You need some time to have a cry and work it through and do all the things, or just lose yourself in the Netflix series, whatever it might be. Come on, I'm speaking the truth here, right? This is what the voice of discouragement will tell you. This is what the voice of discouragement will tell you, and it leads you away from the very thing you need. From the very thing you need. And you see, if you want to be this kind of believer who lives on this upward trajectory, you cannot be the one who listens to the voice of discouragement, because it will pull you down here. And then you've got to claw your way back up again. Does that make sense? Yeah, we know God brings the breakthrough and he restores us, but there is a sense of like losing that momentum in our lives when we allow the voice of discouragement to pull us away. And so this is what the writer of Hebrews was sharing with us. He was saying, don't forsake the assembling. Don't stop going to church. Don't stop going to connect. Put yourself in that place, because that is what you need. You see, Paul knew about this as well, and he encouraged the people in the book of Romans about how to deal with the challenges of life. He said this, and not only that, this is Romans 5 verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. This word, tribulation, speaks of coming under intense pressure. Now, when the Jewish people back in New Testament times heard that word tribulation in their own language, they would get this picture of what it was drawing for them. And this was this, that it's the kind of pressure they would put an olive under to produce olive oil, and the kind of pressure they would put a grape under to produce the juice, okay, which would produce the wine. So Paul is pointing out to us today that the outcome of the pressure we come under when we're under tribulation or challenges actually produces something of great value. Does that make sense? That the oil, because the oil produced by the olive and the juice produced by the grape were a very sought after commodity in those times. So Paul is saying we can glory in the tribulations, knowing what it will produce in us. No one likes reading that scripture, right? No one likes, Paul, are you losing your mind? But this is why he's saying it, because he knew something that we need to know today. He knew that if you can glory in the challenge, because if you choose to stay on track with Jesus in that season, there is an incredible work he wants to do in you. He's going to produce something of great value in your life, so you can continue to see that kingdom growth come about in you as you continue, no matter what's happening, to put yourself in church on Sunday, to put yourself in Connect every fortnight. There is this spiritual productivity that God does when we choose to yield ourselves to Him, even in a season of challenge, where He does an incredibly deep and big work in our hearts. You know, Keith and Flora Bell, you know, you heard from Keith today, his wife Flora Bell. There's such an incredible picture of what God did in that season. You know, when he got his diagnosis, he could have said, okay, I'm going to stay home till this all blows over. I'm going to stay home. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to go to Connect until this is all past. You know, and there'd probably be a little bit of us in us that would say, we don't blame you, right? Yep. Discouraging season, tough season, but they chose to put themselves in church. You know, I didn't see them miss church one single Sunday that whole time. They chose to put themselves in church every single Sunday. They chose to put themselves in Connect every fortnight. And the people journeyed together through this journey. And in the last service, I called it a cancer journey, but it's not. It's a healing journey, because God did an incredible work in that season to heal and restore Keith's body. But can I say to you today, I bet my bottom dollar that God did incredible work in that Connect group as well, as they all stood together and they prayed and they believed for God to do a work. Because you see, God produces things of great value in times of tribulation and challenge. It doesn't mean we can deny the feelings of discouragement. We need to deny the feelings of sadness or grief or whatever comes about in that season. But as we continue to lean in to the kingdom growth God wants to do in that season, He will produce something of great, great value. He will produce something of great value. See, it doesn't matter how life is for you right now. It doesn't matter if life is really discouraging and challenging or if life is going well. We all need community. We all need community because we can believe for more in kingdom community. Yeah, we can believe for more in kingdom community. That's why the writer of Hebrews said, even under this season, great season of persecution they were under, don't forsake assembling together, because we need this community. We can believe for more together in community. We'll stir each other up. We'll encourage and exhort each other. We'll stay on course together when we continue to stay in community. You see, Jesus has an incredible plan for your life, a plan that encapsulates more kingdom growth than you could ask, think, or imagine. I would say for every single person in this room that God has a kingdom plan for your life that would blow your mind if you could see it right now. He has more for you than you could ever, ever imagine. You know, I've told this story before, but it just illustrates, even just for me, how big a work God desires to do. When I was pregnant with my first son, Toby, he was playing keys today, so he's 17. So, look, don't age me. Don't try and do the math. Too long ago. But when I was pregnant with him, first time mum, first pregnancy, I ordered these pregnancy pants online. And they arrived at my house, got the package, was in the bedroom with Mark, and I unpacked these pregnancy pants, you know, those with big elastic waist, pulled them out, held them up next to myself and went, I am never going to fit these. I am going to send them back. These are way too big. What was I thinking? I've got to repack them. I've got to send them all back and everything. And you know what? Mark didn't say a word. He just sat there and he just looked at me and he smiled. And you know what? I lived in those pants. And what I shared that story with you today is because you just have no idea what a big work God wants to do in you. You have no idea how much He wants to grow you, how big that tree is going to get in your life, until you choose to say, I am going to commit myself to kingdom community. I'm going to commit myself to be in the house of God. I'm going to commit myself to the things of God until I see that tree produced in me. Because He wants to do a big work in you. He wants to cause you to fit the pants, so to speak, yeah? He wants to grow you. And so I want to encourage you today, as the band joins me on stage, to really lean into the voice of God in this season. If you are not part of kingdom community, if you are not part of a Connect group, if you're just slipping in and out of church on a Sunday, can I encourage you to be really intentional in your life to embrace the kingdom work that He wants to do in you? Put yourself in a Connect group. Put yourself in church on Sundays. Don't run out the door without talking to someone. Come talk to me. I'll talk to you. I'm a nice person most of the time. But seriously, make yourself part of Kingdom Community, because there's an incredibly expansive and big work God wants to do in you today.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.